Well, hello. I am back. It's been a little bit. I've gotten a few inquiries about where did you go? You dropped off the face of the earth because I've had that hiatus for a long time, I guess. It's been over a year since my last podcast, so it's been a minute. And a lot of that had to do with mental and emotional kung fu that was just kicking my butt. With the effects from the pandemics and lockdowns and restrictions and all of this kind of stuff that everybody's been going through. I just feel like in Italy we've been going through it so long. I feel like we were one of the first countries to really just lock down, and everybody back home, I remember, was like, "Oh, what? This is crazy that's happening over there." And then they started locking down way out weeks after us, and then they started lifting their lockdowns. I know they still have some, but they're starting lifting all of their restrictions and their lockdowns, and we kind of still have stuff still happening here. So yeah, I feel like it's been a minute. We just need to move past this. It's my personal opinion. I'm not a doctor. I'll just say that for safety reasons, legal reasons. But I'm doing better, so I feel like I'm emotionally and mentally able to do this podcast because my podcasts are about how I'm thinking or what I think and my rambling thoughts, you know? So I had to make sure my mind was right so I wasn't putting something out there that maybe I didn't technically want to put out there or how I wanted to put it out. So I feel like I'm a little bit more even keel, so I'm able to do this, right? So I'm back. Right now we've got a whole other mess going on with Russia invading Ukraine over here, and because I'm US military family and we are stationed in the northeast of Italy, we're fairly close to Ukraine, perspective-wise. Obviously, we're in a different country, but land-wise, we're not really that far from what's happening. So, I've been watching that pretty closely for some other reasons as well, and we'll get into a little bit of that. So that's what I'm going to talk about, but I just want to put a warning out there right now that that is what we're going to talk about. So if that kind of a conversation maybe triggers you in any type of way, that it's not something you want to hear about, because we are going to talk about Ukraine and Russia and the conflicts, and if those any of those things linked to those types of conversations has any bad effect on your emotional and mental health, please just click out. Have a great day, and maybe the next podcast will be for you, you know? But that is what we're going to talk about because I do feel like it because I'm so close to where it's happening. We are a US family, we are a military family, that I may have a different perspective than some. So that's what we're going to talk about, and we'll get right to it right after this. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. And there's a lot of places, there's a lot of history that you could probably get all of that. I don't want this really to be a history lesson. Maybe I'll do that on the next podcast or whatnot. But this podcast, I really want it to be about my perspective. I started watching this weeks ago, before the actual invasion, where they were doing supposed training, and I was watching it because it was so close, because we're a military family, and because my husband was at the time on standby. Like they have certain units, if you don't know anything about the military, certain units are usually on standby. So if a conflict happens, you're on standby and put on notice. They always have this happen. It's not anything new. They just have different companies or different groups that are always on standby. So if anybody needs to go, they're the ones that are already on. It's like being on call, you know? So we'll say that they were on call for if anything. And then this was kind of going on. So there was, you know, the word put out about, you're on call, we'll say, and this is going on. Just be prepared. So he had his bags packed and in his truck for like a week, right? And I'm watching the news over here in Europe, and I'm trying to watch like the UK's news, India's news, like I'm trying to watch all the different Germany's news, Italian news, all of it, right? Because, and of course, watching the American news, but I'm trying to absorb all of it because they all have kind of the same information, but some of them have different perspectives, right? So I'm trying to get a broader idea of what's going on. And I was doing that for a while because he was on call. And I just found it weird that, like, some of the countries were still believing that it was just an exercise. So he's allowed to train his troops in his country however he wants, right? And if other countries want to allow them to train in their countries, that's fine too. And part of me was kind of thinking, as a US family, I was kind of thinking at that time, yes, I understand, because I was kind of looking, trying to be, the devil's advocate or whatever, because if another country told us as Americans, you're not allowed to run training at the borders of your country. The American thought would be, we'll give you the middle finger, we'll do what we want on our property. That's kind of the American attitude, right? So I was kind of thinking of that in that perspective. But on the other, like the flip side of it, I was still like, yeah, but it's like a bully next door that's pacing your property line, like your next door neighbor that's pacing the property line right by your house with a gun. And you know that they don't like what you do, and you know there's like hard feelings, and you can't help but feel threatened by it. You ask them, hey, you're making me uncomfortable. They don't move, whatever, but they just get more and more aggressive, and then they make up reasons to stay at your property line, you know? So I kind of was like, okay, that makes sense. Well, Ukraine's worried about it. And it was hard because all the news from some of the countries were like, this is aggression, this is whatever. And then you would l people in Ukraine were just like kind of blasé about it, I guess, because they were like, well, we've been in war, like this doesn't mean anything. We've been fighting, this has kind of been our conflict for years now, you know? So, you see all these like interviews on the news from these people, and some of them are really young too. I remember watching one of the newscasts that had a British citizen whose girlfriend was a Ukraine citizen, and they just both were, they were like, I would say in their mid-20s to early 20s, and they were just like, it's no big deal. This has been going on for a long time. It's not that we are not on alert, but it's just what's always happened. And it was, I feel like it kind of took a lot of people like off guard that he really was just so like he invaded, actually, So it was hard to process here because I was just like, why are they not at like a level of alarm? Because yeah, you were at war, but you never had that many troops at your front door, right? So that to me was like, that to me seems like a game changer. Like you're playing a different game now, you know? So I didn't understand why they weren't prepared or preparing for something, right? And even like the Ukraine president kind of was just like, yes, we agree with the US and the West and on their assessments, but please stay calm, it's fine. You know, they kind of downplayed it a little bit. And I just thought that's crazy. It's just crazy because I don't understand how you don't see this as more of an elevation to your situation. Like, yeah, you're always being picked on by the bully, right? But this is an escalation, you know? So I didn't understand that. So I was kind of keeping an eye on that. And then my husband got called and they went over to one of the bordering countries. It was one of the first waves of US troops that went. And they normally like, because he's not going to be in Ukraine, so normally when they're moving, there's kind of like a period of time where it's like they call it dark or black, whatever what they call it. They call it something where there's just no communication with people back home while they're traveling. It's a lot to do with safety issues, and that's why kind of why you're not supposed to post online like, oh, he's going on this day and blah blah blah. You know, you're not supposed to do that as a military family. Just for the safety of your soldier. And and my husband particularly is really, really good about those time periods that he thinks that we're not going to be able to be in communication. He kind of overestimates it so that I don't freak out, right? So if he thinks like, oh, it's probably going to be a week that we won't be able to talk, he'll say 2 weeks just to be on the safe side. And then I get a call a week early and then I'm ecstatic. So he's really, really good about doing that so that I can stay focused and handle the business tier, right? Because sometimes it's hard when your shoulder is gone. So he said, you know, this is it was it's we're really close to where it's at, right? So he was thinking it's probably only going to be a few hours to get to where we're going to get, you know, maybe 6 hours to travel to where they were going to station. And but he said it'll probably he estimated 48 hours. And so when you think of that time frame, like I was like, okay, 48 hours. And it took 3 days for me to get a call from our FRG, which is our family liaison, whatever. I don't know what it's called, what it stands for, quite honestly, but it's a group of women that help get information out to the families, right? Of their movements, of the information of what they're doing. So it took like 3 days for me to get a call to say they arrived and they're safe. And I was like, I could have driven by now to go and check on them. You know, like that's weird that I'm getting a call this. But they just said, they told us, you know, obviously there's nothing to put online, but they also said, you know, they're not doing communications via email, business apps. And so they just kind of encouraged to do the same. Just and I assume that had a lot to do with the cyber attacks that Russia was doing, and hacking the information. And I saw on TV one of the reports was that Russia had actually hacked into Ukraine soldiers' apps that they were using, like WhatsApp or Signal, and had been sending. Confusing information about movements and stuff like that, and it really did affect like their something that they were working on. And to the point where they noticed it, and it was kind of weird, and they traced it back to them, I guess, because that's what they were reporting on the news. And so I just figured he must not have his phone because of that. They just like see this and you know, think, okay, well, we're just not going to deal with that. But then, so he's over there for like 2 weeks and I'm not hearing anything. So I'm, me, as military stuff, I'm glued to the TV, I'm listening to everything. And it was just baffling to me about how some people were still like, the whole international community as a mostly was like, hey, can you please just back up? This is, this is causing concern. This is threatening. If, just stop. And Putin didn't. He just, well, we're doing this training. Oh, and then we were doing this other training. And oh, by the way, we're doing this other training. Like everything, he had an excuse as to why they were there. It had nothing to do with intimidating or invading Ukraine. But at the same time, at the other side of his mouth, he was like, well, NATO, we don't want them to join NATO. And for a little bit of a time, I thought, well, maybe that's his whole objective. Maybe let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's say that's his whole objective. Because him just being at the border would achieve them not being able to join NATO. From what I understand, you cannot join NATO if you were in an open conflict. Well, them being at the border was an open conflict. They would never have been able to join NATO with an open conflict. So him just being at the border would have accomplished that goal. And once I realized that, and that I thought, well, maybe he won't invade. And then my husband is at, in a, was at a country that was bordering there. And when he, 2 weeks later, he calls me and he's like, I'm coming home today. And then I come to find out, and it was so frustrating when I found this out. And I'm just gonna throw this out there because I don't know if someone messed up or if it was strategic, but was really annoying to me is that there were soldiers from Germany there. There were soldiers from the 82nd there, and all of them had their phones. And but the 173rd, which is out of Italy, which is where my husband and I are stationed, did not have their phones. And I don't know if it was because of whatever reasons. I don't know. My husband seems to think it was because Washington never said the 173rd was there. And really, they were only there until troops, the other troops that they that the US had mentioned came and replaced them, right? So because we were so close, they sent like the 173rd to start the whole process. And after they announced the other soldiers, which soldiers were coming, those soldiers kind of relieved my husband's unit. And so then they came back. But it was really weird because they didn't give them their phones until the day they were leaving. And it was like hours before they were like, I talked to him and he was like, oh, yeah, the buses are here to take us, And so I was like, oh, that's so weird that they just, that's all they gave it to. And the whole time we had no communication. So that was frustrating. And if it was just because of that, that's so frustrating, because it tends to like play with the families back home's heads. And I, for me, it was harder because it's different than a deployment. When you, because a deployment, you kind of have time. You like, you know months in advance that, oh, you're gonna normally, not at the start of a war, but like the past many years, it's if you were gonna go on deployment, you knew you were going to go and you knew the deal and you kind of knew how long you were going to be there for. And when you have a situation where it's like you're on call, it's probably, most of the time it doesn't, it hasn't happened. And so to have this happen really plays with the people back home's emotions because they don't know anything. And if they're not getting information, it serves up all kind of mess, emotional mess, right? And so I was just like, I was watching all the news to see about the US soldiers, and I'm trying to find like even a clip that maybe he's in and make sure he's okay. Because I had nothing. Like they didn't even give him his phone until the day they were leaving. And so he comes home. I'm still watching the news because I'm like, we're still really close. Like there's no way that they wouldn't send us. And then I saw that he invaded. And that's when I was just like, I just felt like the US has to do something. And this is, and I know there's like a lot of things out there that's just like, we should stay out, no war, whatever. And I get it. I don't want war. I don't want my husband to be in a war. And I have a lot to lose if we go to war. So it's not that I say this with a light heart. I'm concerned that if we don't step in and we don't, because I don't have any faith that Putin will stop with Ukraine. That's my feeling. Just because he was so dishonest in what he was doing at the border, and he straight like I just feel like he's a loose cannon, and he's at the end of his political career. He's getting older. He's been in power a long, long time, and he's only got so many years left of being in that position. And he's very like you'd have to be a very egotistical person to be in charge to for that long and to deal with so many world leaders. And he does, right? He does have conversations with them all the time. He has to, do a lot of things on a world stage, right? So you have to have a little bit of an egotistical where most people, like the US, we only have terms for so long, right? You don't like a president, the worst you're going to have to deal with them is 8 years, right? Where that's not what happens in Russia. And I think that that ego grows so much, and he only has so many years left. And how is his story going to end? Where he has said and promised so many things in his time as being in being in power, that he's only got so many years left to accomplish that. And I feel like he doesn't have anything to lose at this point. And he doesn't strike me from the things that I know of how he's operated. He doesn't strike me as the type of person that wants his legacy to be that he saw this and didn't accomplish it. And I'm not worried about him like standing trial, and I think he should, but I'm not worried about it because I don't think he would allow himself to go on trial. I think that he wouldn't stand there and let people talk down to him or judge him, right? So I think if it came down to that, he would have someone take his life, he would take his life or whatnot. That's my personal opinion. So I think he should stand trial for crimes against humanity and war crimes, and but I don't see him standing trial himself. Like I just don't see that. He at this point he has nothing to lose. And it might like what I've seen of people going on, like with Biden saying we're going to be so severe on these sanctions if you don't back away, and then he never backed away, and then he's like, I'm really serious. There's a meme out there if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about, and he does it anyway. And then we kind of gave him like, well, and I get why they did it, but we said we were going to be so severe if you do this, and then we were like, well, we're going to do these things that are kind of severe, but it gives us room to grow if he just stays in those two areas that he said were independent. And so then now he's in Ukraine. And he said that he was just going to those two. Well, now he's taking over and bombing different military ports, like different military strategically bombing them. And there are some reports that it's not so strategic. Like there's obviously civilians that are getting hurt, and so I just don't have any faith that he's going to stop at Ukraine. And even if he does, I feel like it could later, given an opportunity to do something again, to just increase later, whether that's now or later. And I don't know what kind of world that leaves for the next generation to allow something like that to happen. And that makes me scared. And so I don't know that it's something that I feel comfortable with, say, allowing that kind to not be answered by the international community, because I think that that would be a bad precedent to set for future generations. That, and I think that if he is allowed to continue, it will open the door to saying, okay, well, they allowed that to let go. What is this to stop other countries to increase their borders and open all types of wars open for the future? Where if the international community stands together and says, absolutely not, this is not allowed, then there may be more stability for a lot longer, right? So that's my thought. I don't really want the US to go to war, just because I don't want my husband to go to war. But I think if we don't, it will have devastating effects for future generations. And so that's why I feel like we should be doing something. And I was really disappointed in Biden and his speech. When he was talking about the second round of sanctions after they invaded, because there was a reporter, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was, but they were like, "Why are we not putting sanctions on SWIFT?" And Biden just said, "Well, we're doing other stuff that's greater than that." Well, that's great, but you said we were gonna go all out, if he did this. And we're not. So, in my opinion, if all those things are bigger, then what does it harm putting Swift on there? Like, I don't understand why we're not doing that, because I don't know. I just don't understand why we can't, if we're gonna say something, and that's my biggest thing, like if Biden is gonna say something, and if any president is gonna say something, this is what we're gonna do. If you do this, you have to follow up. It's like parenting, you know? Like, I don't want to say like we're parenting another country, but it there's something to the fact that they have to be able to trust that what you say is what you're going to do, or your words mean nothing, right? There was also another reporter in that press conference that said, "Well, why are we not posing personal sanctions on Putin?" And it kind of got laughed off by the president. And I thought, wait, why are we not? Like, he's the one making the decisions. There's so many Russians that are like protesting the war and getting arrested. There's like, I am so flabbergasted as to why we're not posing sanctions to Putin himself personally. And to have that laughed off is like mind-blowing. Why is that not the first thing on the list? You're the one that's pushing the buttons. You're the one actually making the decision. People gave you the power to make that decision. So why are we not punishing you specifically? Like, I don't understand that why that was kind of laughed off a little bit by the president. I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe there's something behind it that I don't understand, because obviously I'm not like a world leader and understand world economics or whatever. But to me, as a human being, if this person like is making the decision, wouldn't you be the first one that gets punished? I just don't understand that. And the fact that it was left off was kind of mind-blowing for me. And again, not that I really want us to go to war with Russia, but I also feel like there needs to be a stance that we will not put up with this. And I'm kind of torn because there's so many great people in Russia. I was watching a British parliament the other day, and I really like their prime minister. The he Boris was saying, he made the distinction for sure that they don't like what Russia's doing, and what they're doing is evil, but there are many good Russian people, and there's a distinction between what Russia is doing and Russian people. And so maybe there's something that why they're doing certain things, but I do remember in the parliament, which is confusing to me because everybody's saying they're united, but I really do feel like when I watch the British parliament and all the sanctions, that they were a little bit more open and severe about their sanctions. I believe that they off said SWIFT was on the table and that was going to be sanctioned. They even went to the part of the space station, and I thought, oh, that's not even something I would have thought. But yeah, Russia has a space station that we use, and we collaborate with them. And I remember in Parliament they were like, well, I kind of want to keep that going because it's hard, it's the next step in our evolution, I guess, of man. But he just still was like, I'd like it to continue, but I just don't know how that's going to happen, So, it's a little iffy right now. Right now I feel like I'm watching the news and I'm just still baffled by the people in Ukraine, why they weren't more prepared. I saw a snippet of a woman who was with two young kids, and they were going into the subways because that down in the subway, they were using it as bomb shelter, and so they were interviewing her, and she only had like a water bottle and like a baggie of candy, and that's what she took with her, and she just wasn't prepared, and I just thought, how could they not be prepared? Because it's such like it wasn't an it's a new thing to have somebody at your border. I know that like the US hasn't really had anybody at their border with tanks and stuff, but if we did, for sure we would have prepared and we would have been like, this isn't happening, and we would have contingency plans. Like maybe that's just the difference in the way we think. I don't know. Or maybe they just been in war for so long that, it was no big deal. But even when the beginning of the pandemic hit in Italy and things were going a little bit crazy where stuff was not on the shelves for a long time, me and my husband like stocked up on like beans and rice, and we had a plan. Like we had extra gas cans, and we had like a plan of like we have these totes, we just throw them in the car with the dogs, and we will have food and we will have water and we will have like blankets and a few changes of clothing. We would have some stuff and be a little bit more prepared. And that was at the beginning of a pandemic. I just feel like, why were people prepared, a little bit more prepared, like have a contingency plan, be prepared to be able to move? And I don't know if it's like the military family or whatnot, I don't know, but it was baffling to me why they wouldn't have some kind of a plan, So those are my thoughts on the whole thing. I really do think that we need to step in as an international, not just America, and I know that Russia is that he it's interesting to me that Russia. He says the West, US and the West. And I just think, what? I think he really doesn't like the Americans. And That's fine. We're not everybody's cup of tea. I get it. I get it. But I just feel like we need to step up. And I'm sure some people out there are gonna think, oh, you self-absorbed American has to be involved in everything. I can honestly tell you, I don't want there to be war. I don't want my husband to go to war and be injured or physically or mentally, because that happens. I don't want to lose him at war. I do not want there to be war. And I think that that's a misconception of the world of Americans, is that we're these warmongers and they want war all the time. They want to be in everybody's business. And we don't, we as a people do not want war. We don't want to lose our loved ones. We're just like everybody else. We don't want to lose our loved ones. But we do think, what kind of world are we living, leaving for the next couple generations if we don't do something? And maybe that's the difference. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of good people in a lot of countries, and I do think all countries need to stand up and say, this is wrong. And I get Putin's worry about NATO moving west, but at the same time, like, you have to allow people to make their own alliances. And if he truly thought that's really what he wanted, he could have just stayed at the border and not invaded, and he would have gotten what he wanted. And so that to me tells me there's something more nefarious going on, and I have zero faith that Putin's going to stop with Ukraine. I hope and pray that I'm wrong. I hope and pray that I'm wrong, because I don't want my husband to go to war, but I have zero faith that he's going to stop with Ukraine. Because at this point, what does Putin really have to lose? Like, he has something to accomplish. Nothing has stopped him thus far. He has, I just think he's on a guy at the edge and off his rocker, honestly. He's very smart, he's very meticulous, and that's my perspective on the whole thing. I hope that, I don't know if that gave you any insights, but I do think that I was trying to be unbiased. I was trying to give Russia the benefit of the doubt for the longest time at the beginning, try to play devil's advocate a little bit, like, okay, well, maybe they're just training. I don't feel like I'm coming in as a biased outsider where America's always right and, you know, or blinders on. I don't think that I did, because I really did try to like look from the other perspectives and stuff, but I just don't see around how we're going to get through this conflict, and I don't know that it's going to be very short. It's so hard to say how long this will last, but I feel for the Ukrainian people and what they're going through. And I just, as other countries step up and give them aid, I hope that they will step up and take their refugees as well, so that they can be safe. For those that have family in other countries, I hope that they open up a way for them to move. But even still, there's going to be a lot more help needed for these people, because they're leaving everything. They're leaving their homes, their possessions, the things that are irreplaceable. And even just opening your door is not enough, because once they're in, they have nothing. And so I really hope that the international community comes together and stands united, truly stands united with sanctions and everything. And that includes the US. I feel like the US wants to put on this front that they were the most severe. But in all honesty, when I was watching Parliament, the United Kingdom's Parliament, I feel like they were a little bit more severe, and they were standing a little bit more firm. And I wish our President Biden would have done the same, I guess. I don't know. I feel like he was a little bit more laxed. And maybe I'm completely wrong, and maybe he was just, not saying everything that was gonna happen. I don't know. I don't know. I just felt like after watching the other countries and what they were doing, then watching Biden's, I just thought he's not in lockstep, and I feel like we need to be. I feel like we need to be open to whatever will hurt Putin particularly, so that he might be able to stop. I don't know, think it will be enough though, but we have to try. We have to try to stop him. And I think as an in, we need to do something. I'm starting to ramble, so I need to close this up, but there's so many emotions in this for me because I'm still watching this daily. I'm hourly checking in. I in the middle of the night, I'm waking up and checking my phone for alerts about what's going on there because at any moment I'm dreading the call that my husband's gonna have to go. And I know that he won't go into Ukraine because that's not what the mission is. It is to protect the NATO allies that border him, the Ukraine. But with that, there's still no faith that Putin will stop at that at Ukraine. And so that's why emotionally I'm so invested in this, that I really hope that we all can get on the same page and peace will prevail. But I just don't see a path on how that's going to happen. So that's my thoughts. Please like, share this podcast. I would appreciate other people's point of view. So let me know on what your thoughts on this whole thing is, and I will keep you updated.